Let me ask you a question. Does God really love us? And I, you know, that question, as I'm really thinking about it, thought about it a lot this like really the last few weeks or month or so, God's showing me like so many multiple ways and from different angles how much he actually really does love us. And I think if I were to ask any parent in the room, any parent in the room would agree with me, and you would quickly say that your love for your children comes out in this one aspect, one desire. It's you want to be with them. You want to be with your children as much as possible. Why? Okay, that was an easy lead-in. Because you love them. Hello? Hello? So if we were to take this and say, does God really love us? Yes, because he wants to be with us. He actually wants to be with you. He wants to be near you. He wants to be close to you. His desire in all of the universe, when you think about all of the massive mass that he has created and designed, his drive, his desire, his will is to be with you. And that's awesome to me. That's mind-boggling. And it's humbling and even like, it's like, what? How is that even possible that the God of the universe, the creator of all that exists, wants to be with me, wants to be with you. It's true. You know, I you can even tie it into a marriage relationship. I had a nice time talking with Ron and Debbie. We're still praying for them. He's one of the missing spots in the room, Ron and Debbie, and you know, he fell and broke his back a few weeks ago. It literally broke his back, and has been in the hospital and been recovering, and it's God's bringing him out to where he should be coming out of the hospital this Tuesday, and or actually recovery, coming out of a recovery this Tuesday and coming home. And of course, Debbie, if you haven't known, she's gone into the hospital too for other situations and other things that are going on in her life that kind of put her in a downward spiral because of Ron's fall. You could call it that. You could say that. You could just say it just happened. But Ron was talking to me yesterday. We were chatting, and it was such a beautiful thing, a conversation I'm going to share with you guys. And I asked him if it was okay to share it, so I have his permission. And he said, you know, this little stint that I've had away, and he's very clear-minded, and he'd say, this time that I've had away from my wife, Debbie, has caused me to realize and really desire more than ever before to just want to be with her. He said, and his words were this exactly. He said, 47 years is just not enough. So I want more. And I was so moved with this, like, wow, that's so awesome, that love that he has for his wife and wants to be just with her. Because they've been separated. He's been in the hospital. She's been in a hospital, different hospitals for different things. And they can barely even talk to each other. She can't talk on the phone. So he's not able to communicate with her, not able to connect with her. And it's just driving him insane into this, not literally, but it's driving him to desire her more and more and want to be with her. And that's so awesome because I believe that's what God's drive for us is in this whole thing called Christmas, that we celebrate the coming King, the coming Messiah, Jesus, a baby coming to earth, Jesus, God in the flesh, coming to be with us. And the whole purpose of it is so that he could be near us, so that he could have us and an intimate, close relationship with us. And that's so, so awesome to me. I wish that I could say the word, I wish there was a bigger word than awesome, but I don't think there is. And we've diluted it to something that it's really awe. The word awe is that there's no words for awe. I'm in awe, and God is awesome. And yes, we've diluted it to whatever, a sports play or something, or, you know, whatever you're wearing that day. But it's God is awesome. And what is so awesome about God is his desire and drive to be with us. It's amazing. So I'm going to ask some other questions. We're going to get through this conversation. I'm going to try to, the reason I don't like to wear the glasses while I'm in the midst of this is because when I look out, you guys are all blurry with the glasses on. I know, and Robin said, you got to get the bifocals, but I guess it's a pride thing. I don't want to look like this, you know, that I don't want to look like that old guy. Hey. Santa? Is that what you, I was accused of being an old guy yesterday, a grumpy old guy, like, oh. And the shoe fit, so I wore it. I wore it all day. You ever look at yourself in the mirror and just say, holy cow, what happened? Been doing that a little bit lately, too. Hey, quiet, brother. Son. You did that the other day? Oh, awesome. Praise the Lord. I shouldn't have said that word there. So I'm going to ask a question. Why did God need to save us in the manner that he did? Why did God need to do what he did in order to bring us to him? You know, which, of course, the answer is how did he do it? Is through Jesus, who is God, and became one of us, sacrificing himself for us in our place. Why couldn't God just simply snap his fingers, you know, like Thanos, and make it happen? And just say, well, you know, have you ever thought of that question? Maybe I hope you kind of have, because then you need to come to this place of thinking of outside the box instead of say, why did God have to do that? Why did God have to bring himself to planet Earth, one that he created, become one of us, and then die for our sins on a cross, a cruel and undeserved death, in order to save us? Why couldn't he just say, you're saved? Okay, that's a good answer, but that's not 100% correct. In fact, because he gave his choice. Okay, you guys are all on a good page there. Where's Blake? Did he just leave the room? You can't leave the room on me, Blake. Okay, sin requires blood. You guys are all coming out with good stuff. What's that? A lesson? Okay. Those are all really good answers, but they're not correct. Okay, the question. I forgot it too. The question is this. Why did God need to save us in the manner that he did? Why did he have to give us Jesus to be saved? Why couldn't he have just snapped his fingers and said, you're saved? The whole planet, everybody. Hold on a second. Why couldn't he? David, I bet you have the right answer.
We want our own way.
Okay, that's another angle that's taking it, but yeah, that's true. Okay, you're getting closer. Somebody's getting, exactly, because of who he is. That's exactly the answer. That's the only answer that fits. All of our other answers are nice little things that fit in what we think it ought to be, but the only answer that makes sense is because God is God. Okay, God is this. Now listen, God couldn't do that because he is God. Because he couldn't just snap his fingers and save us. He is God. He needed to bring a Christ, a Savior, to us because he is these three things. He is just. You know what that means, right? That means that he's fair. He's just. He's correct. He's never wrong. He's always right. He is just. He is immutable. You know what that means, right? Come on, English class. He does not change. He is not shifting. He doesn't go with the flow. He is God. He does not change. He is just and he does not change. And he is love. So what happened? What happened at Adam and Eve? I think the greatest act of mercy was one thing, and I'll get to it in a second. One of God's greatest acts of mercy. When Adam and Eve fell, they sinned. They disobeyed God. He had a choice. So yes, the free will part is in there. Debbie, you said free will, right? Good. So that's in there because he is love, he's given us free will, which is, you know, I think I explained this last week or a week or two ago, which is the sovereignty of man. So when we have that thing called free will, because for love to be love, it has to have a choice. Hello? That just makes sense, right? That's common sense. You know, for me to love you, I choose to love you. God chooses to love us. For love to be love, it actually has to be a choice. There has to be a choice in that. God is love, and he chooses to love us, and the simple act of us loving him back is a choice. Because we fell, we sinned, and he said, if you sin, you shall surely die. What happened? We died. And then the greatest act of mercy took place is he did this. I think it's one of, next to, it's right under Jesus dying on the cross for our sins and us being freely given grace and forgiveness is this one thing. Have you ever thought of this? I have. Okay. Is God removed us from the garden? Removed Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden. Because in the middle of the Garden of Eden was the tree of life. And now that we have Adam and Eve, I'm going to say we because we are Adam and Eve. You know, I like to say it in the modern terminology is we downloaded the app of sin and pressed agreed and participated just as much as Adam and Eve. Hello? Oh, that wasn't very many of you. It should have been all of you. Hello? Absolutely. Adam was the best at it? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Best person. Yeah, he had everything. Like, you know, he was, he had that intimate relationship with God himself, walked and talked with God in a language that definitely wasn't English, but it was a God language, an angelic, and he was able to speak God. Is there a language my mind just went somewhere weird. Let's come back. But that was, he communicated with God perfectly, directly. Walked with God perfectly and directly. And he was made perfect by God himself. God's hands formed him, right? He had no belly button. That's just cool. He came from God. That's awesome. And yet he still chose. So if you think that, oh, Adam, doggone you, wish you wouldn't have screwed it all up for us. Come on. We're all right there. Where was I going? I needed to go somewhere with this. I know, I did. Because as God actually, yes, thank you, tree of life, because now that we have fallen, Adam and Eve have fallen, and we have chosen sin, if we would have eaten that tree of life that was right there, that's why he guarded it like fervently. He sent the biggest angels with the flamingest swords that could possibly exist. No video games have anything on this thing. I mean, these guys were monsters. They were there to actually guard mankind and the possibility for redemption for mankind. Because if they would have eaten of that tree of life in a sinful state, they would have been unredeemable in a sinful state and would have remained in a sinful state, disconnected from God for all eternity. That's the truth. And that's a biblical truth that is written in there that we, if we don't understand it, we'd understand that God's constantly working in love. Everything God does, every move he makes is love because God is God. He is just, he is immutable, and he is love. So even that very act of kicking us out of the garden and not letting us near the tree of life was an act of love and mercy for a further plan of God's grace, which is wrapped up in a little baby. Wrapped up in a little baby. Come to us. So awesome. So awesome. So what did it mean for God to come to us? How far did he have to go? Have you ever traveled to a foreign country? And, you know, you encounter these odd things. A new language, new landscapes, new customs, even new money. You have to get it all changed over. An entirely new culture. Might even feel a little bit out of place going to another country. Kind of makes you wonder what Jesus would have felt like coming here. Even though he created it and designed it and created it, spoke it into existence, it was outside of his realm. It was out because he came to us. The infinite became an infant. The all-knowing one became a babbling baby, just like that one that couldn't speak words. Doesn't blow your mind a little bit? The author climbed into the page. God came to us because we would never come to him or could never come to him on our own. That's love. That's love. Jesus was our Emmanuel. God became one of us. How marvelous, how absolutely amazing that God really, really loves us, that he came to us. You know, this Christmas, I'd like you to just simply, if there's one thing, there's a lot of things that I think about Christmas. What's up, Juju? She's awesome. I don't know if I got to tell you guys this. I'll get back to my sermon, the message. It's a good one. This is really good. It gets better as we go. All of my little granddaughters, got six of them now. But, and then I was telling Krista this. Like, every single one of them that come on the page, come into the scene, have stolen my heart to be my favorite. Of course, they're all my favorite, but they, you know, they are all the first, you know, the first one to the fun one to the, to the one, the only one in the whole bunch that has my eyes. The only one in the entire family, the long family, other than my siblings, that has the blue eyes, is little Evie. So she was like, oh, you're going to be my favorite. And then Felicity comes along, and it's like, oh, she's such a fun, see, she's full of the stuff that, you know, you say that she's full of it, and I love it. She's, yeah, vinegar, yeah, yeah. And then that little one on Thanksgiving Day, 8 months old, I walked into the room, her eyes locked into mine, and I walked into the room and she said, Papa. And it was her very first words, and I wasn't the only one that heard it. Yeah. There's testimonies of people that heard it. Anyway, praise the Lord for children and grandchildren. Amen. Amen. So this Christmas, don't let the world's misconstrued views and misunderstanding of Christmas keep you from seeing and treasuring the greatest gift of all realities, which is this one. God has been made low to bring us up. God became one of us so that we could become like one of him, so we could become like him, so we could become with him, we could be with him. God became low so we could go up. Isn't that awesome? Emmanuel has come to be with us. And the promises have all come true in a little baby. They've all come to be in a little baby. Here's some of them. In the early chapters of the Bible, God promised that the head of the serpent would be crushed by the future offspring of Eve. He also told wandering Abraham that all the families of the earth would be blessed through him. That was a promise to Abraham. Later, he promised King David that the throne of his kingdom would be established and sustained forever. And all this would come to pass because God's suffering servant would be pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities. All wrapped up in Jesus. So when we talk about and we sing these songs of Christmas and Jesus coming, it's all the promises of God are in him. Everything is wrapped up in him. And it's so awesome to me. And there's 1,000 more promises that are just as good that came to us that very first Christmas. And they assure us that God will keep every promise that he's given to us in his word. He has never, not once, not one of his promises has he not kept. Just think about that. I mean, just think about that as a truth, as a reality, when we open up and discover and read, listen to, hear the promises of God through his word, that not one of them is unkept by God. Not one promise will he back down on or not keep his word. That's so encouraging to all of us, right? Even this one in Isaiah 7:14, this is because we're about Christmas and this is what it's about. Says, all right then. I like this as Isaiah is saying, all right then. The Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Amen? Amen. Johnny, you got to behave yourself for you to get lunch afterwards. All right. I invited him in here to buy him lunch if he stayed through service, so. You're good. We love you, Johnny. So let me ask you this. I'm gonna keep going because this is really awesome, because I talked about, does God really love us? That's how we started this conversation this morning. And have you ever felt, though, this is where we got to really keep ourselves, we got to plant ourselves in truth. Because I'm going to share with you guys as much as anybody else have gone through this. You ever feel like God's just not there? Like maybe God isn't really listening. God isn't present. I just don't feel his presence. I don't feel like he really loves me. And I want us to be honest with ourselves in that, because I think that that's a place where God is allowing us to push into him. He's allowing us to feel that for a moment, so that we come to the realization of the truth that God is really with us. So we got to be careful not to base and even respond or react to that other than push into God deeper, because we'll feel like God isn't there. And it could be circumstances in the world, it could be circumstances personally that could very easily cause us to feel like, God, where are you? Hello? And I could go through the room and look at every single family and every table, and I could probably point out something that I would say that more than likely brought you to that feeling, that place. So it's really important. It's extremely, how do I say it other than it's we need to remember who he is. He is just, he is immutable, and he is love. All of that, you could sum it up with this one word, good. God is good. And he will save anyone who calls on his name. He will save anyone who calls on the name of Jesus. He will see to it in his perfect time that we end up looking like him. And I mean to say that intentionally. In other words, he's doing a work in us. He's doing a work in you. He's doing a work in me. And he's not done yet. The work is still to do. So be patient with him because he's patient with you. Let's pause for a second. We're going to pray for Nicole. Come here, sweetie. She's due any time. Come here. Get over here. We're going to do this together. You put your hand on her belly right now. This is Nicole. This is my friend Anthony. And she's due any minute. Well, day. I think by this week. Did I just lose connection? I'm good? Okay. I sound weird out here. That's okay. Is this how I sound out here? Oh, let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this child. We thank you for this baby that you are preparing to bring into this world. And we lift up Anthony and Nicole to you in the name of Jesus, that you strengthen this their spirit, their mind, their bodies, and we, especially right now Nicole's, mostly and mainly. Lord, just lift her up to you, that you would give her your peace, that you would right now even hold her steady through this. In Jesus' name, we pray for a safe and healthy delivery, a beautiful, healthy boy. In the name of Jesus, amen, amen, amen. Yeah, they might be leaving here in a minute. Said her other two boys are 2 weeks early, and she's exactly, I think, 2 weeks from her due date, right? I think today is exactly 2 weeks to your due date. Oh, tomorrow, okay. Yeah. So we're excited. We're going to have a little Christmas baby in our fellowship soon. Hallelujah. Where was I? Okay, this is good. Remember who he is. He is just. He is immutable. He is love. He will save anyone who calls on the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Simple as that. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, help. Jesus, come. And he's right there. He's constantly doing a work in us because he's transforming us into his image. He will cause all things to work in our lives for the good. Amen? And it's the good that God knows for you, not the good that, it could be a little bit different than the good that you think that you think is good for you. Did I just say that? In other words, God knows what's best for you better than you do. I hope you know that. Yes, good. Because it's a good thing to know. Wouldn't you have a lot of issues with God if you didn't believe that? Yeah, I know I would. I would be like, God, what's wrong with you? And I think that's sometimes one of our biggest issues is we think that God should do things how we think God should do them. Amen. Like having a baby. I mean, why has it got to be so painful? I mean, it wasn't for me, but it was like, man. Right? I'm sorry, Nicole. Yeah. Still part of the curse. So let's go on. And here's another promise that one day God will wipe away every tear. Every tear from our eyes, and death will be no more, and we will see his face, the glory of his face, and we'll be able to gaze upon him with so much love and so much thankfulness. I want to share real quick, and maybe it won't be real quick, because this is, I wrote in my little notes, when did I know that God loved me? Talk about me personally, and so I'll share. This is probably one of the favorite, my favorite, forgive me for saying that word, one of the most intriguing parts of my testimony is from this angle that God has allowed me to see even afterwards, which is pretty fantastic. Have you ever noticed how God shows you stuff from your past way back, even before you knew him, his hand on your life? That's so cool when God shows you his hand was on your life in a place when you didn't even know him. That's cool when he does that. So when I was about 12 years old, probably 11 or 12 years old, I remember walking to this place, and I lived in Wisconsin at the time, and walking down the dirt road, and it was late at night. I was probably over at my friend's house, and I just distinctly remember having this moment with God. I looked up, and I think I've shared this with some of you guys or shared this here before. I looked up at the vastness of the heavens and the stars in the sky, and at that place, because we were out in the country, it was so bright. The stars were so immense and so bright and so beautiful, and I remember looking up and saying, and just thinking, wow, wow. And I was a kid, I didn't know what I was thinking, but wow, that's so cool. And I think for the first time, I noticed the coolness, the bigness, the beyondness of the stars and of the universe. And I was so amazed at it. I said, there's no way that could not be, and this could not be if there were not a God. And I remember hearing something in my head somewhere that if you just believed in God, then that would be good. So I just said, well, yeah, I believe in you. And that was all I said, because it was so obvious that he was there. He was so clear to me that God was there, but he was there, way out there. And I didn't know what that was or what he was or what he looked like or how awesome he was or how good he was. I just knew he was out there. You with me? And then I was a young teenager, and then I became a young man, about 17. And that God that I said yes to, way out there God, suddenly showed himself to me as a father that just wanted to give me a hug, just wanted to love me, wanted to be near me, wanted to be with me. So much so that he gave his son Jesus to take care of all of my issues that I couldn't take care of, the sin that I couldn't ever deal with on my own. And he paid a price for me to be near to him. And it was at that moment that I fell in love with a God who wanted to be with me. And since then, I know that he loved me from the beginning, loved me from the designing and creating of the world. He had me in his mind and has you in his mind. But until I saw how much he loved me through Jesus and gave me Jesus, I didn't know him personally, but now I knew him as a God who wanted to be with me, Emmanuel. And from that moment on, of me saying, yes, I want to know you. Yes, come into my life. Completely take my life. Take over everything. I am yours because you have paid the price for me to be yours. So now I belong to you. And it was at that moment that I came to this place to know that God really loves me. Because before it was a beyondness, a vastness, that God is out there. And I think, you know, even a professing atheist, if you get down to the nitty-gritty of everything that's going on in their life, they can't deny that there's a vastness that they can't explain. And it's something other than accidental or evolution. It's God. But to come to the place that to know that God really loves you is wrapped up in a baby. In a baby that God brought to us. And so, yes, when we sing the Christmas songs, they're so beautiful, they're so wonderful. But it's about the love of God coming to us. His love reaching into our lives because we had no capability of reaching up to him. He came to us, our Emmanuel. Isaiah 9, 6, and 7 says this: For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called, oh, get this, guys, come on. Yeah, come on. Wonderful Counselor. Whoo, gets better, huh? everlasting peace, mighty God, everlasting peace, wonderful counselor, Prince of Peace, everlasting Father. Sorry, I'm mixing them all up because to me, he's all of it. Yeah, he is our Prince of Peace. And yes, our Emmanuel. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. And the passionate commitment, listen to this. This is what it comes down to. The passionate commitment of the Lord of heaven's armies will make this happen. Do you see that? God really loves us, and his passionate commitment to bring you to him is in Jesus. And we can't forget that. We must always remember it, that it's his plan to save you. It wasn't your idea. You didn't find Jesus. You said yes to him revealing himself to you. He found you. And he found you before you were ever even thought of. Blown. So let me finish up as you guys will come up and get ready to lead us in worship. It's simple. I know the depths of Emmanuel and the depths of God loving us. It goes farther than even what we presented this morning. But may Jesus' words be loud and clear to us this Christmas. It's the words, some of the last words that he spoke to his disciples, to us actually, before he left this earth in the form that he was in. And he said this to his disciples after he'd been resurrected and he'd shown himself and presented himself and spent time with them. He said this phrase in Matthew 28. It says, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. Hey, Jesus said that. What are the words of Jesus? Nothing but promises that always come true, that are never broken. I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. He will never leave us, never forsake us. He will always be with us. Amen? God really loves you. He really loves you. Know it, believe it, receive it, and just let his love flow through you this Christmas. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your love for us. Can't emphasize it enough and say it enough, how much you actually do love us. And I know that only by the revelation of your Holy Spirit that we're able to even see it. We're able to even recognize your love for us. And we thank you for that, Jesus. Thank you that your love for us is wrapped up in a beautiful baby. A baby that was dubbed King of Kings and Lord of Lords. A baby that was dubbed the Lord of heaven and earth, the Messiah, the Christ, Emmanuel. Before that baby even took one breath, already you had appointed, anointed Jesus, our Lord, our Messiah, to save us, rescue us, draw us to you. And Jesus, we're so thankful. May we fall in love with you again and again and again and again and again and again. And then another time. Thank you, Jesus.